Hey, everybody, welcome back to Church Online. I am so glad that you made it. Hey, you're here another week, baby. You made it. We're here. You're here. Welcome back. I'm so glad that you could make it. Grab your Bibles, if you would. We're going to spend some time in the Word of God. Specifically, right at the very front of the book, we're going to spend some time in the book of Numbers, chapter 20, and then Deuteronomy chapter 3. Numbers 20, Deuteronomy chapter 3. As we're doing that, I want to say thank you, as I always do, for those of you who have been so faithful and generous with your tithes and offerings. You financially support us through the worst pandemic that we've ever seen in our lifetime. Thank you so much for that. That means a lot. Every week, I'm just overwhelmed by your generosity and by your faithfulness, by your obedience to give and to support this ministry. I always want to say, if this is not your home church, hey, welcome. We love having you here. We love being your adopted church for the week. But make sure that if you have a home church, that you're supporting them during this financially difficult time. It's very important to me. Don't send your tithe here. Make sure it goes to a church that that God has plugged you into. And as for everybody else, hey, welcome back. We're so glad you could make it. I want to kick a special shout out to those that have been watching faithfully every week, and you guys are watching from all over the country and even across the pond from our friend the Defers over there in England. G'day, mate. I want to tell you that for the Kraft family, for Roxy Dover, for Dr. Davis, for my family, the Ingrams there in Fort Worth, Texas. Hello to Bill and Deb Leckie. We love you guys kicking it there in the Metroplex. And I just want to say hello and welcome. Glad you could make it. And I believe that God has something powerful in store for us as we get into His Word. It's going to be good. So I want to bring a message today called the do-over. And if you like what you hear today, do me a favor, go ahead and click the like button, comment there. If you really enjoy it, click the share button. That always means a lot to us today to know that people are willing to share the gospel, the truth of God's word, and they're willing to risk their social media clout to be able to do that. It means a lot when someone shares that. Thank you for being willing to share what God is saying to your world. It's our new way of witnessing to people, of saying, hey, here's a great video that I think you might like. And here's a do-over. And who doesn't need do-overs? We need do-overs. And each of us in our lives, we have those defining moments where we just wish that we could do them over. And some of those are great moments, by the way. Not all do-overs are bad, right? Some of those are moments like my wedding. I wish I could remember my wedding, but it was all just like a blur, you know, of activity and friends and all the people that were there and everything that happened. And I remember, hey, you can kiss your bride. I remember the kiss. Other than that, I don't remember. It all happened so fast. I'm thankful for videotapes. And there's moments like the birth of my children that I have to go back in my mind. I wish I could relive that, just how powerful that was to me. But then there's also some moments where I wish that there would have been a hole in the floor that I could have just fallen in. And I know you have those moments too, the moments that you wish you had a do-over, that you wish you could just erase that part from existence because you did something so stupid or so bad or even so wrong. Those do-over moments that cost you dearly. I've had plenty of those. There's been, you know, I remember when I was 5 or 6 and I drank a Dr. Pepper can from my uncle and it turns out to be full of dip spit, like tobacco chew spit. I learned my lesson the hard way right then. There's also a time in my life, being in public ministry, there's always something, and maybe it'll even happen today, where I just say something that I didn't realize I said it. And it's tough thinking about that, because in the middle of cancel culture, you're always waiting for myself to just say something stupid and something that you didn't mean, but you wish you could have a do-over. I did that several years back. I was leading worship at a huge church, and man, it was Easter Sunday morning, which is our Super Bowl, and we were blowing and going. The house was packed full of people. There's people in the overflow room. Cameras were on, just, you know, thousands upon thousands of people that were tuning in online and much more that were there. Just so full of passion and energy. And here it is, Easter Sunday. We've got like, I don't know, 5 or 6 services that we're doing that day. And we're good to go, man. So I come out there just charged and ready to go. And I said, hey, happy Easter, everybody. And they all cheered. And I said, we're here to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I wonder why no one cheered at that. I didn't realize till later that I had omitted the first 3 letters of the word resurrection and said something that did not mean what I thought. What I thought it meant, I'll let you catch up and think about it for a second, what I said. But in that moment, it finally clicked to me what I had just said in front of all. Yes, I did that. And I wish that there was a hole in the floor that I could just fall through, because this brown guy turned real red real fast, I promise you. And I remember looking at my worship leader partner that was there with me, a young ministry partner there. And I looked at her and she looked at me and she's like, like, did that just happen on Easter Sunday? Woo, yeah. I need a do-over. I need a do-over. I need a do-over bad. And I want to just focus on those moments of life, because the Bible, thankfully, is full of a lot of imperfect people. Amen. People that needed some do-overs. But I also want to draw your attention to the times where people needed a do-over, they did something wrong, and it cost them severely. As a matter of fact, they forfeited God's blessing for their life. And my heart for us today is that as we're walking through this pandemic, as we're walking through these times of great confusion and calamity and anxiety, that you don't lose heart and forfeit the blessing that God has given you, especially when we're so close to being able to see the breakthrough. I believe it with all my heart. We're so close to seeing the end of a lot of this stuff. And if we could just persevere and get through it, that's just the key, is to persevere. But unfortunately, this is full of when times get tough, people do a lot of things that they just wish they hadn't done. And we do a lot of damage. In the process, we end up forfeiting some spiritual things that God wants for us, that God has promised us, that God has waiting for us on the other side of this. And our behavior, for one reason or another, ends up forfeiting that. As a matter of fact, we're going to talk today about one specific person, but there are many people in the Bible that forfeited God's blessing, from the very first person in creation, from Adam and Eve, forfeiting the beautiful presence of God in a tangible way, to people like Samson, all the way to the New Testament with the rich young ruler who was faced with a dilemma in the middle of what they were faced with. They end up making a very poor decision, and it cost them, and it cost them dearly. And I think there's this mindset that we have that as long as I just do the right thing, or as long as I'm a good person, that God is obligated to bless me. And it's just not true. That's right. Yeah. It's not true. There's a lot of things that are very important to God. And unfortunately, some people in the Bible had to find out the hard way. And my prayer is that you wouldn't have to learn that way. So here's the message called The Do-Over that I hope and pray that blesses your life. As we get into Numbers chapter 20, I want to kind of bring you up to speed if you don't know the story of Moses. Moses had become Israel's greatest deliverer. He led 2 million people out of slavery to Egypt. They had walked across the desert, just about to enter the promised land. And then between their mistakes and their grumbling and complaining, just one issue after the next, God finally ended up taking them on a journey that should have lasted about 2 weeks. It ended up lasting for 40 years because of their disobedience. And as a matter of fact, it got to the place where God says, you know what? None of you are going to enter into the promised land. They were so close. They could see it. But God says, no, you're not going. This is it. Because you wouldn't believe. You absolutely wouldn't get your attitude right. And this is what God has been speaking to his people, I believe, this week, as we're coming to the end of this thing. Hey, it's time to have a little attitude adjustment. It's time to have some moments where we really take an honest look at where we are and what our attitude has been like, where our hearts have been. And we just determine in our own lives that I don't want to forfeit God's blessing through all this. I don't want this to be worthless. I want to learn whatever God wants for me to learn. And I want to get it. I want to get it right the first time, right? I don't want to have to learn from my own mistakes. I want to be able to learn from other people's mistakes. That's much easier. Or better yet, just trust God and not make the mistake at all, right? So here in Numbers chapter 20, God has determined that he's going to bring water out for this next generation. Remember that the first generation has been completely wiped out by God. And God's like, hey, they forfeited it. I'm going to raise up the next generation. And so through the process of time, this next generation is grumbling and complaining again, just like their parents did. And Moses has to do a miracle again at the behest of God. And God says, I want you to go and I want you to speak to this rock and cause water to flow from it, because these people are complaining that they don't have enough water. And it seems like it's a fairly simple instruction, because God had actually done this before, but God's instructions were a little bit different the second time. And then Moses has one of these do-over moments where he doesn't listen and some issues arise and ends up forfeiting God's plan, his purpose, in the midst of the wilderness experience. And so Numbers 20, God speaks to Moses and tells him very specifically, watch this, take the rod that you and your brother, and you guys assemble the congregation. I want you to speak to the rock right before their eyes. So the first time God says, I want you to strike the rock and it's going to have water come out of it. And the second time God says, now speak to it. He said, it's going to bring out water. And then you shall thus bring forth water for them out of the rock and let the congregation and their beasts drink. Fairly simple, cut and dry. God, I've seen you do this before. Okay, here we go. But in this story, we see something that's pretty extreme. It seems like God has a bone to pick with Moses. And it ends up really frustrating the Lord. And God becomes pretty harsh because he's disobedient. And I want to just talk today. I want to give you a few things here. What are the things that lead to the forfeiture of God's blessings? What are the things that cause us to miss out on the payoff at the end of this thing? And the first thing that we see is doubt. Doubt leads to do-over moments. As a matter of fact, if you're a note taker, you might want to write that down. Doubt is a big deal to God. As a matter of fact, in the book of James in the New Testament, in verse 6 of chapter 1, it says, when you ask God for something, you must believe and not doubt. And it goes on to say, if you're doubting, don't expect to receive anything from the Lord. God says, you get nothing from me. Why? Because you didn't believe that I could do it. Yeah. And we know from experience and from getting to know the Lord that it's not doubting that that God can do something, because He's all powerful. Yeah. It's a problem with our willingness to disbelieve in His power. Now, God doesn't always heal. I don't believe that. There's not in the way that we ask for it. He does it in His own timing, at the way He wants it. And I don't pretend to understand it, but I never doubt His power. He can do what He wants at any time. And I like to line my will up with His. Okay, God, I'm listening to You. Doubt's a big deal to God. And the generation before had constantly doubted God's power. We even see now that they had sent spies into the land. And out of these 12 spies that went out, 10 of them came back and were full of doubt. We can't do this. And God's like, you know what? I am done with you. That's the worst thing that you could possibly say. You need to see through the eyes of faith. Doubt matters. Doubt can cancel out God's blessings for your life. And that's up to you, whether or not you believe His promises. Doubt leads to do-over moments. Here's a second key I want to give you, something to avoid, and that's disobedience. Disobedience leads to do-over moments every time. The Bible calls this sin. When you know what God has asked you to do, and you determine that you're just not going to do it. Unrepentant sin is a big deal. God does not bless unrepentant sin. He can't. He's a perfect God. He's a holy God. And He is calling us to be something more than what we can naturally do in our own strength. He wants us to be able to be empowered. In order to do that, we've got to be forgiven. You know, King Saul found out the hard way that God doesn't bless sin. King Saul decided to do things that he wanted to do and do it his own way. And then the prophet finally comes and confronts him. This is in 1 Samuel 13. And the prophet tells King Saul, because you disobeyed God, he says, you have not kept the command that the Lord your God gave you. If you had, you would have established your kingdom over Israel for all time. But now your kingdom will not endure. You forfeited. It's not yours anymore. It says, the Lord has sought out a man after His own heart. I'm giving it to somebody else. And appointed him to be the ruler over His people. Why? Because you have not kept the Lord's command. You disobeyed. You wouldn't listen. And I want to get this theology out of our mind that we can do whatever we want to do at any time and that God will just take care of it. As a matter of fact, I wrote it down this way. We cannot make the mistake of believing that we can live how we want and that God is obligated to make it work. But yes, this is us as a church. I can do what I want. And God's a God of blessing. Well, He's a God of blessing, but you can't do what you want. Not if you call yourself a follower of Christ. We are followers of Christ. It means something to follow after Him, not just on Twitter, not just on Facebook. We follow Him with our lifestyle. Disobedience is a big deal. And I wanted to speak to somebody that that God has told you specifically about some particular areas of your life. And I want to just make sure that you understand the severity of disobedience. I could not tell you that I loved you without telling you the truth. And I'm doing it full of grace. And let me just tell you, God doesn't bless sin. He doesn't bless sin. You can't live the way that you want to live outside of the authority of God's word and expect for God to bless it. It doesn't work that way. Amen. My friend, He loves you too much to leave you like that. Amen. Disobedience leads to do-over moments. As a matter of fact, in 1 Samuel, the prophet says, obedience is better than sacrifice. God's like, more than you doing something for me, I'd rather you just obey me. Do what I say. There's a high price to pay for low living. I found that out the hard way. There's consequences to sin. And that's because God is just. He's just. He's a God of justice. And you don't want His justice. You want His grace. You want His mercy. So you ask for it. It's not that complicated. But it matters to God when we disobey. There's a reward for doing it God's way. When we obey, there's rewards for that. Think about the parable of the talents. And some of you may know that story. Some of you may not. But Jesus gives this parable about people that were given a certain amount of money. They called it talents. And those that did well with it, He gave more. And a matter of fact, those that didn't do well with it, he took what he had away from them and said, give it to the people that did well. There's a reward for doing it God's way. There's a reward for being obedient, doing the best you can with what God's given you in accordance to his word. Disobedience leads to do-overs. Here's the third thing I'll tell you. Frustration leads to do-over moments. We talked a little bit about this last week, and if you're finding yourself frustrated, go back and watch the message from last week about the frustrated Jesus. But oftentimes, frustration can lead us into places where you don't want to go. Because it costs you a lot more than just an attitude. It pays off in pain and frustration and grumbling and complaining. That's a big deal to God. It's not that God can't handle our complaints, but when that's all you do, that's something different. So let's look at what Moses actually does in this moment when God told him to speak to the rock. What does he do? And I want you to picture in your mind, if you would, the frustration in his voice as he says this. This is in verse 10 of Numbers 20. It says, then Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly together before the rock, and he said to them, hear now, you rebels. Listen up, you bunch of rebellious people. Like, okay, let's calm down here. But it's obvious that he had gotten irritated. He is in a place where his frustration boiled over, and he began to what we call abuse the sheep. He began to take it out on other people. That's a big deal to God when you abuse the people that he loves. And by the way, word is clear in John 3:16 that God loves the world so much that he gave his only son. And when you take out your frustrations on other people, you could be forfeiting your blessing. It's a big deal to God. That's right. We can vent our frustrations to God, but you don't take those out on other people. That's right. And by the way, that happens a lot on social media. There's a price to pay for that, my friends. There's a price to pay. Yep. And you don't want it. It costs you a lot more than what you're willing to pay. Right. But he starts taking out his frustrations on this younger generation, and it got ugly. And that meant a lot to the Lord. It sent the Lord into a place where God's like, you know what? I'm done with you. I've had enough. I wrote it down this way. Just because I'm frustrated today doesn't mean I need to forfeit my blessings tomorrow. Yeah. You know, this season is full of frustration. It's full of anxiety and confusion and pain. I get it. All of us are walking through it. You're not alone. But it doesn't have to lead into sin. It doesn't have to lead you to a place where you're forfeiting God's plan and purpose for your life. Yeah. You don't want to pay that price. Frustration leads to do-over moments. I get it, but there's a better way. So number four, we see this happening in Moses, and that's pride. Pride leads to do-over moments. Yeah. The book of James tells us that God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Mm-hmm. That literally means that when you determine that you're going to stand and your pride is going to take authority over what God wants for your life, God literally begins to turn his hand against you. Yeah. The Greek word there means to play against you like on a field. He's an opposing player. And who do you think is going to win in that battle? Yeah. Pride comes before a fall, another scripture says. There's a price to pay for your pride. And men, we are the worst at this. Yeah. Just the worst. Letting pride get in the way of our obedience and our ability to trust God. Pride will cause you to forfeit God's blessing on your life. God doesn't bless pride. He doesn't. It says, no flesh will glory in his presence. It's not about you. That's right. And this is what Moses had a problem with. There's another scripture in the Bible that says Moses was the meekest man on the face of the earth. And that sounds great until you realize that it was Moses that actually wrote that scripture. That's a little revealing, isn't it? Pastor Tim is the most meek man on this planet. Like, I think you missed the point, buddy. But there's a pride issue here. So Moses says, hey, listen up, you rebels. There's this frustration. Then he goes on to say this. He says, shall we bring water for you out of this rock? Really, we? Yeah. Who is we? Who's we? Yeah. Think about that. That matters to God when he gets no credit. Mm-hmm. It's him that is the supplier of what we need, not any man. And Moses has an issue with this. And God takes notice of the words that he's speaking because they're covered in pride. Look at verse 11. It says, and Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock with his staff twice. And then water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank and the livestock. So anyways, God still blessed his people in spite of Moses' disobedience and his pride. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, look at this, because you did not believe in me. You didn't believe in me. That's pretty strong words from the Lord. He said, you doubted my word. You didn't believe in me. And he says, you didn't uphold me as holy in the eyes of the people of Israel. Therefore, you shall not bring this assembly into the land that I have given them. Forfeited. Man, I bet Moses would have loved a do-over moment right there. God, please. Wow, I've come all this way. I've come so close. And now I forfeit the very promise of God. You know, the calling of God is irrevocable. The gifts of God are irrevocable. His promises, they're based upon you. Whether or not you're going to doubt Him, whether or not your pride is going to stand in the way. These are important things to God. They matter. And there's a high price to pay for disobedience and pride. And God says, look, you're not leading my people into the land. Your destiny, I'm giving that to somebody else. Because you didn't believe in me. You believed in you. As a matter of fact, in Deuteronomy chapter 3, Moses is still upset about this. This is a while later. And he's talking to the people right before God takes him home. And he's looking back on his life, obviously with regret, wishing for a do-over moment. And I want you to still notice how he's still battling the pride issue. Look at this in verse 23. It says, and I pleaded with the Lord at that time. So Moses is talking with the people saying, I pleaded with God. I begged him. He said, Lord God, you have only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or on earth that can do such mighty acts as yours? Please let me go over. Please. The chapter goes on to say, but the Lord was angry with me because of you. Not that it was my fault. It's your fault. What a common struggle. We see that all throughout the Bible. Adam blaming Eve. Eve blaming the snake, and the snake was like, hey, I'm a talking snake. I do what I do, right? But it's always somebody else's fault. And here is Moses like, hey, I lost out on my blessing because of you. The Lord was angry with me because of you. He says, and God would not listen to me. Ouch. As a matter of fact, the Lord said to me, enough from you. Do not speak to me on this matter again. I need you to see the severity of God's justice when we don't believe Him. When we doubt, when our pride, when our assumptions and our frustration get in the way. These things matter to God. Mm-hmm. And in this American version of Christianity, we've gotten lost in some bad theology, thinking we can live the way we want to live, and God just has to bless us because He's good. My friends, that's a horrible view. That's a very wrong, twisted view of God. Right. Obedience matters. Yeah. It matters to Him. And they keep us from living in do-over moments. Living with regret. So I want to give you some keys how to avoid the do-over, and we'll just end it with this. How to avoid it? How do I make sure that I don't miss out on the blessing that God has for me, especially when I'm so close to the end of this thing? So close. How do I make sure that I get in on the best that God has for me and don't forfeit it? And the first thing is obedience is critical. As a matter of fact, write that down. Obedience is critical. He says it. I believe it. Yes. My answer is yes. It's always yes. And remember this. God wanted Moses' obedience. Obedience is better than sacrifice. He wanted his obedience. And God was specific about what He told him to do. He didn't tell him to strike the rock. He said, strike the rock first time. The second time, He said, speak to it. And God has something very different in mind than just bringing out water for His people. See, God was laying down the spiritual foundation. He's laying down a type and a shadow of Christ. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. The rock represents Christ. And God says, we're going to strike Jesus once. You're never going to strike Him again. After that, you're going to speak to Jesus because of the cross. See, He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. And He was hung up on a cross so that He'd have grace for every single person once and for all. And God's like, you don't do that again. Right. You don't understand how important this is to me. Now I want people to learn how to speak to the rock. And I want them to see it through you. It matters that we obey just exactly as the Lord ordains, because you don't see all the angles. The scripture tells us, God says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. I see the big picture. You don't see it. You see a rock. I see Jesus. You see water and I see grace. Obedience matters. It's critical in this next season. My friend, God is still speaking. He wants you to obey His word. How do we learn how to obey Jesus better? You spend time with Him. You speak to Him. God is calling us today to speak to the rock. Speak to that immovable rock. Speak to the rock of your salvation. Talk to Him. This is where we learn obedience, by walking hand in hand, step by step with our Creator. This is how we learn to obey. I love that the second key here and how to avoid the do-over is that maturity is the goal. And it really is. This is what God wants from us in this season. He wants us to mature. He wants us to grow up. And this is what the children of Israel had a problem with for 40 years. A bunch of babies. They wouldn't grow up. They wouldn't listen. They kept doubting God. They refused to be mature, to grow up. And God says, I'm done with you. You won't grow up. You ever known anybody that just wouldn't grow up? I mean, the Peter Pan syndrome, right? Don't elbow anyone next to you and don't start forwarding this video to people. You just won't grow up. This message is for you. I was listening to a story from my dad today about a kid that he knew named Danny. And so Danny had a problem with being on the bottle. And he was now 5 years old, about to start school, and was still on the bottle. And so his parents had bribed him with some money. We're going to give you some money if you throw away your bottle. And so they finally gave him money. He threw away his bottle. He went to the store with his money. They said, buy anything that you want. And guess what he bought? A bottle. He bought a bottle. He would get up in the morning, pour himself milk into this bottle, heat it up, and drink out of a bottle. And so this is the true story. And so his parents went to the doctor in the town. They said, hey, what do we do? It's obvious that something's wrong here. And he's like, don't do anything. He'll be fine. Like, he'll be just fine. Like, you're sure? Because he's 5 years. He's about to start school. And he's still drinking out of a bottle. And he won't drink out of anything else. And on the first day of school, the school was just a few blocks away from the house. And so the mom, you know, gets him ready. And he grabs his bottle. She's like, okay, you know, here it is. So he walks outside. And she's watching him from the front porch as he's walking towards the school. And there's a bunch of neighborhood kids that are there waiting for him. And he takes a few steps for him. And he looks at the kids and looks back at his mom. And he looks down at that bottle. He throws the bottle in the bushes. And he's like, man, you got it. You know? Scripture tells us you walk with the wise, you become wise. You know that. And here's the key. In this age of social distancing, it's very difficult for us to remember that maturity is the goal. And because we're not surrounded by people that are pushing us, and there's no iron sharpening iron, there's no groups and community, it's really easy for us to slip back into some immature ways. Pornography is on the rise. Depression is on the rise. We're walking backwards from God's presence instead of closer to Him. It matters to God that we mature, that we get closer to Him. And we do that in groups. We do that by being with people. And I want to encourage you can't do life alone. God called you to be a people. And we're crossing this thing together. We want you with us. So make sure that you understand that the goal of this is maturity. And I do that in context with other believers. Maturity is the goal. You know, Moses himself had to walk through a big maturing process. You know, his name means to be drawn out. And that's because when Moses was born, it was at a time where Pharaoh had decided that he was going to kill every child, very similar to Jesus's time, every child underneath the age of two. And so Moses' mother hid him in a basket and floated him down the river. And Pharaoh's daughter actually pulls Moses out of that basket and says, I'm going to name you Moses because you were drawn out. You know, and it's so just perfect of God to think about the name of a person drawn out, because in reality, God is in the drawing out business. He draws things out of our life that just don't belong. And that would be Moses' lot in life, that at every stage of his life, God was drawing something out of him. You know, we spend the first 9 months after conception being drawn out of the womb, and then the rest of our life, God is drawing the baby out of the adult. It's time for us to grow up. And this is what walking through tough times will help you do. Mm-hmm. It helps you mature. Mm-hmm. And though no one likes it, growing pains are hard. And I remember the times where I'd hit 12, 13, 14, 15, and things got really awkward and weird and voice was changing. But I remember how my chest would hurt so bad because my ribs were expanding. And I remember my legs and my knees would hurt because they were starting to stretch. And I was growing really, really quickly. And growing hurts. It hurts to grow. It's not comfortable. But everything that we need, everything God wants for us is waiting right outside of our comfort zone. Yeah. And that's the beautiful part of following after God, is He loves you too much to leave you there. That's right. He wants you to walk. He wants you to trust Him, to step out in faith. And that takes maturity. You know, God won't bless the spiritually immature because we would turn it into a curse. We wouldn't understand it. But it's what we do. You know, you don't give a four-year-old a car. It's going to become a curse to them. They don't get it. There's some maturity that has to happen. And this is what 2020 has been about for many that I know, and what I see God doing in the church. There's a maturing process, and it's good for you. Here's another thing I want to remind you of, and I'll close it with this. How do I avoid do-overs? I serve the next generation. I don't insult them. And my friend, it's very difficult for me to watch the church in this season turn their back on the next generation. Mm-hmm. But in case you didn't know, millennials have turned their back on church. And by the way, it's not because they hate God. They don't hate God. They hate hypocrisy. Yes. And it's time for us to realize that they want something more than just some Sunday morning feel-good experience. They want the real Jesus. They want to see His real power in people's lives. They want to see people that take Him seriously, that honor God, that are really living lives worth it, they don't want to see some Sunday morning bedside Baptist kind of, that doesn't work. They want something real. Mm-hmm. And it's time for the real people in the body of Christ to serve them instead of just saying they don't get it, they don't understand. Mm-hmm. You know, remember this, God is a generational God. Yeah. He's generational. And if one generation won't do it, he'll skip to the next one. Because remember, he says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God's thinking three generations from now. Think about that. I don't want to give my blessing to any other generation. No, I've come too far. And I love them. I want to serve them. I want to help them. But I'm not giving them my blessing. They're going to have to get their own. I don't want to forfeit mine. So I serve them. You know, it takes humility to serve a generation younger than you. It does. Especially when that generation thinks they know it all. I remember there's a great quote from, I think it was Einstein, that says, when I was 7, I thought my dad was a genius. And when I was 14, I thought he was stupid. And then when I was 21, I realized my dad had learned a lot in 7 years. And as you get older, you start recognizing that there's a generation of people that know some stuff. But unfortunately, in today's church, we don't see a lot of investing into them. And the numbers speak for themselves. I want to be a church that thinks generationally, a church that doesn't turn my back on those that God is choosing in this next season. That's important. Just because you're, you know, underneath the age of 18 doesn't mean that you don't belong in the church or you need to be, you know, seen and not heard. No, that's the church. Yes. And Jesus came to die for them too. Right. And they need mentors. They need people serving them. They need people helping them. They need to learn about the goodness of God. Otherwise, they're going to repeat the same mistakes that we made. And the last thing I want for 2020 is to become 2030 and 2040 and 2050. And they have to walk through the same thing. No, come on, let's get this thing done. Yes. Let's learn what we have to learn. Let's grow. While there's still a chance for us to grow, it's time for us to serve the next generation and not forfeit our blessing. I don't want to have a do-over kind of faith. I want to listen and get it right the first time. I want to walk through this thing one time and be done with it. Come out with flying colors, don't you? Yes. Don't you? Yes. I wrote down this in Hebrews 6. What an amazing scripture. It says, so don't throw away your confidence. And I want to make sure that you don't just breeze past that scripture. Look at it again. It's on the screen right in front of you. Don't throw away your confidence. Don't throw it away. It's valuable. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He's promised. I need you to look at that scripture and believe it. Don't doubt it. And then obey it. He says, don't throw away your confidence. Be confident. The same God that started this, He's going to finish it. He began a good work in you. He's faithful to complete it. He's faithful. We serve a faithful God. He didn't stop being faithful in 2020. He didn't stop being faithful with you. It's not about you. I want to invite you to speak to the rock today. Talk to Jesus. Be obedient to whatever He says. Listen to Him. Draw closer to Him. Let Him mature you and grow you up. These are important times. Don't waste them. Persevere. You know, before ever promised land, there's a test. And every test brings a blessing. We're just about, at our church, we're just about to walk across the street into a brand new building that we've built. This is actually this building is coming closer and closer every day. And I was really disappointed at the beginning of all this that things kept getting farther and farther delayed. I thought, we'll never be in this building. But unfortunately, with COVID, there's not a church that we could have had in here anyway, right? It wouldn't have mattered. So God knew. He had a plan. But also want to make sure that when it's time for this building to open up, that it's also time for me to walk into it. I want to receive the blessing that God has. And I want you to be with me. I want us to do it together, to look back and say, look what God did. Yes. It's a brand new season. I want to bring the next generation with me too. Yes. I'm going to say, look what we did. Now you take it and push it farther than we ever thought we could. We stand on the shoulders of giants. And I want to give the next generation the same opportunity. Give them a real Jesus. Someone that knows them, that talks to them, that's real and relatable. The real Jesus. As we finish up today, I want to just remind you not to forfeit your blessing. And in this season of frustration and transition and confusion, let's not let it cause us to forfeit our blessing. My friend, we're almost there. So don't quit. We're almost there. So stay obedient. We're almost there. Stay close. We're almost there. Stay flexible. We're almost there. Stay humble. Persevere. Keep going. We're almost there. You've come too far to quit now. Let this week be a week where you're following as close as you can to Jesus, where you're being obedient to His word, listening to Him, and obeying Him every step of the way. I want to finish up right there. And if you'd allow me, I'd love to have this opportunity to pray for you. and to ask that the Lord would strengthen you and encourage you, to bless you right where you are. Once again, if you liked what you heard today, would you click the share button and share this video with your friends? And I think it's important for us to see that there's a lot of things that God doesn't bless that we think He does. There's things that we can do now that would forfeit the blessing that's coming. And I want to make sure that as many people as possible get the blessing on the other side of this. God doesn't waste pain. He wants to bless His people. Would you mind sharing that with your friends? It would mean a lot to me. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank You for every person that's watched this video today. I thank You for those that clicked on this link, and I believe that You met them here today. And Lord, I just pray for those that are walking away from You, those that have struggled with doubts, those that have chosen the wrong path, those that have made mistakes. Father, I pray that right now they'd be drawn by Your kindness to repentance. Your word tells us that Your kindness leads us there, leads us to repentance, a turning away from sin. And we say, God, I want Your way and not mine. So would You forgive me of those things? My friend, right where you are, would you just take a moment and ask for forgiveness for anything that you might have done that would forfeit God's blessing for your life? Ask Him to cleanse your heart, to cleanse your mind, to cleanse your life. Ask Him to help you walk away from foolish mistakes, things you've thought about, things you've looked at, attitudes that you've had, words that you've spoken. If they don't line up with God's word, just say, no, I want freedom from that. I'm believing that God will hear you. Believe it. Don't doubt. Turn the other way. Let His grace cover your mistake. And then let His grace empower you to rise above it. You're better than this. You can do this. Don't forfeit your blessing. Father, I pray that You'd meet them right at the point of their need right now. In Jesus' name. Before we go today, I want to just ask you a question. Do you know for sure that Jesus Christ is the Lord of your life? Have you asked Him to come into your heart to forgive you of your sins? My friend, if you've never prayed that prayer, if you've never asked Jesus to do that, this is your moment. I'll help you like somebody helped me one time. I needed it. I needed help. Right where you are, if you want to ask Christ to come into your heart, just pray this prayer with me right there. Just say, Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I believe You came and died, but rose from the grave so that I could have life and forgiveness for all my sins. I invite You to come into my heart. Be the Lord of my life. I give myself to You in Jesus' name. Amen. My friend, I'm so proud of you if you just prayed that prayer with me. Would you do me a favor? Text the words, I prayed, all one word. Text it to 94090. I'd love to just celebrate the win with you of what just happened inside of your heart. It would mean the world to me if you would text me and let me know that you just prayed that prayer and accepted Christ into your heart. It's such a powerful thing. I want to maybe send you some things that would help you and encourage you and let you know that this is not the end of your relationship with Jesus, but this is the beginning of a beautiful, beautiful relationship. He loves you. He has a plan for your life. Don't forfeit your blessing. It's amazing. I want to see you be able to step into all that God has for you. For everybody else, I hope and pray that you're doing well. Hope that you prosper in your health. Hope that you're continuing to trust in the goodness of God. I pray that everything that God is doing in your life would just blow your mind with His goodness and faithfulness. Yes. Hope that you have an amazing week. God bless you as you go. Take care.